New bombshell enters the villa.
Oh, no. Can we please start again?
No, no, we don't have time to start again. I've got to watch Dune 2.
I'm not even turned on, am I?
Yeah, you are.
I meant... Oh.
Welcome to the final episode.
My laptop out.
This is how it's going, Dan. Welcome to the final episode of Tell Me More with
Series
Matt
2.
And,
oh, series 2. We're
with,
not ending.
With Matt and Dan. We've just had a pub lunch and we're going to get trolleyed.
It's a series finale. Whee! Like no
we might do one at the end of the year. You don't know.
No, it's a series finale, though.
Yeah, no, it's a good time.
Let's put it in paper now. We're going to do a Christmas special.
Oh, cheeky. We're brought to you on the beaches. Fight them on the trenches.
I hate all of this because I won't be able to edit any of it out.
We're brought to you on the beaches of Ibiza right now. We're living our lives. Top quality. We love it. How are you, Dan?
Very well, thank you. Oh, well, I'm actually panicked like no avail. I was lying down in mid-conversation. The man went, we're recording. And I'm all over the shop.
We've had a little bit to drink.
We
a
have.
Tiny tipple.
Couple of bits.
Couple of bits.
Have Dan- you seen... What? Actually, no. Just let's turn that music off now.
Okay.
Welcome to Tell Me More.
Welcome to Tell Me More, Matt and Dan.
Caesar's finale.
In this podcast, if you've listened before, Dan tells me a fact and I have to decide whether it goes into the Memory Box Hall of Fame or if it goes down the shitter.
But Matt, look at this. What have I got in my hand?
A rule book.
1 second.
Oh, he's thrown it out the window.
Rule book's out the window.
Oh, it's gone. It's gone. Where's it gone? I don't know, and I don't care, because we're doing things different today.
To celebrate the series finale, we've both come to each other with a plethora of facts.
Yeah.
About what subject, Matt?
Booze.
So, not only are we going to bring facts about booze, the booze we're talking about we'll be drinking as we talk about the facts.
It's bloody gorgeous. It's immersive.
I was thinking about this as I was writing it as well. This one probably will be the best... one for people to tell other people facts from this podcast. Because when you're at the pub, you can tell people facts about what you're drinking. So what are we going to be drinking today, Matt?
We're going to be
talking about facts about.
We're going to be drinking and telling facts about an assortment of different drinks, starting with cider.
Beer.
Wine.
Tequila.
Gin.
And vodka.
It's the best of tub thumping if it was an extended edition on a larger vinyl.
Let's... Preface this by saying drink responsibly and
listen to what we do, not what we say.
I think this episode's gonna be a bit longer as well.
It probably
because
will
it's
be.
The series finale.
Yeah,
and we're gonna be.
I might just elongate it by adding random things in, like.
Here we go. Right, are you ready for the series finale? Tell me more.
Yeah, here we go. Fun.
We're starting today. With Matt's fact, which is cider.
Oh, God. Okay, well, pass us one. Here we go. Yeah, we're passing it round. Here we go. Yeah. So we're drinking... We're drinking Pinky's Sunset Crisp Apple Cider.
From Gage Roads.
Too loud. Oh, listen to that.
Oh, that's proper right now, slap. Now, Matt.
Yeah.
Let's hear some
cider facts. Stupid. So, what's your first thought when you think of cider?
Apples.
Okay.
Pears.
Yeah. So, there's a video online where a certain gentleman goes to a farmer's establishment and he goes through and he basically says, oh, I've got all types of cider here. Got apple cider, pear cider, got fighting cider. Got sleeping cider, and he just talks about different types of cider, but they're adjectives, and so it's just a bit. It's a bit strange. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, there we go. If you want to say more, you're more than welcome to do so.
Yeah, but you've not said anything for me to really add on. I thought you were telling an anecdote.
No. It's just something that I watched. So
I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Okay. Well, do more. Tell me more. What I've got here. So I've got some facts about cider. On November 18th, 1307, the legendary William Tell shot an apple from his son's head. November 18th.
Do you remember the Nokia theme that was William Tell?
Shall we just, like, just 1 second?
You asked me
November,
to...
November 18th is now National Apple Cider Day in the UK. So yeah, November 18th is now...
Do you remember the Nokia theme that was Apple, that was William Tell?
No.
No, that's Mexican hat dance. 1 second.
Yeah, November 18th in the UK, Apple Cider Day, because William Tell shot an apple from his son's head. What do you think of that, Dan?
It's no International Jazz Day.
In the 19th century, cider was advertised as a cure for gout and other illnesses.
Ooh.
Other illnesses? I don't know. It doesn't say, and I did not look any further into it.
Good job.
Some companies use the term cider to refer to apple juice with no preservatives, and apple juice to juice that has been pasteurized. When the Romans stormed through England in 55 BCE, that's before Carey,
yeah.
They found Celts sipping a brew made from crab apples. The troops were quick to pick up the habit and take it back to Rome.
But that's interesting because you never think of cider and Rome. Is that where they got limoncello from? Apicello.
No, because limoncello
is that why
lemons?
People say they sing an acapello?
Is that why they say, is this the way to Amarillo? Because of cider from the Celts in 55 BCE.
Tony Christie went from Rome.
Is this the way to
Somerset? To singing, is this the way to Acapulco?
Acapulco at the Copa. It takes about 36 pieces of fruit to make 1 gallon of apple cider.
What?
How many? Can you keep the microphone in your hand?
Sorry. 32 pieces of fruit.
36. Listen to me, man. Here's another one. Oh, this is a good one, actually. In the 14th century.
Not your fact, but yours.
Shh. In the 14th century, children were baptized in cider. It was cleaner than water.
Inside who?
She's a journalist, lady.
Next fact, here we go. Just remember, I'm talking about cider. This is really funny. Apples are to cider as grapes are to wine.
I hated that.
So in the USA, cider is categorized as wine.
Like appetizer.
Yep.
Nope.
No,
grape-tizer. Keep going.
Schlur. Do you remember Schlur?
Huh?
Schlur. Harmonize with me.
Schlur. We've just raised someone from the dead. The inventor of music just raised from the grave to bash our heads together.
Hedy Lamarr. There are more than...
You all right, mate? Just you sound scared saying, Hedy Lamarr.
Where is she? Where is she?
Go on.
The pilgrims who arrived to America drank cider because it was safer than drinking water.
The holy water. The holy cider.
Holy inside. Who's her? Mm-hmm. The popularity of cider in America fell in the early 1900s due to the arrival of many Europeans who brought beer over. Ooh, here's a good one. And it's the final one. President John Adams, who came in third in the running race to be president.
He had a hairy chest as well, didn't he?
Third, the one with the hairy chest. Fourth, the one with the iron gun.
First, the worst. Second
the best. Third, the one.
Let's just do it in different order. Okay, so we go third, fourth, first, second.
So John Adams, the longest lived US president, he came in third for that. Enjoyed a tankard of hard cider every morning with breakfast.
Can we just clarify? So he wasn't the third in the longest serving US president. He was the longest serving US president.
Who lived the longest.
And he was the third US president.
Who comes in third for longest lived US president?
How old is he?
I would have said if it wrote it down for me.
Because I have a second. I have a thing.
Your second?
I'm the second oldest.
No, what, who's first?
You. Is that the cider facts?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. I've had enough of cider.
All right. Finish it off. Play some music.
Okay.
Let's get on to the next round.
Yeah.
All right, that was some side effects.
Cider.
Are we ready for the next round?
What is it, Dan?
Beer. Everyone loves a beer. Everyone loves a lager.
Lads.
Beer, cider, beer. Here we go. Throw it at me. What are you drinking? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking an Aldi brand Asahi called Storm.
And I'm drinking Anakin.
Heine.
Ken.
Should we cheers? We haven't cheers yet.
Cheers. Listen to this.
Oh, we put both microphones next to each other as well.
And it just created a sonic boom.
Beer. I'm putting my fact voice on now. Beer is one of the oldest alcoholic drinks in the world.
Wrong.
Why?
Wine.
I said one of the.
Yeah.
Traced back 3,500 BC.
Is that before Carey?
It's before paper and robots. It's older than robots.
Is it, and paper?
Yeah.
I think if anyone listening to this bloody podcast knows that robots came before paper.
What about future paper?
Future paper. That hasn't happened yet. I can't wait for paper two. Electric boogaloo.
Electric boogaloo.
It's the most widely consumed drink in the world. Mm. And the third most popular drink after water and tea.
There we go. Okay.
So most...
Wait, people drink more beer than they do water?
Yeah, think about it. How many glasses of water do you have a day compared to how many beers we've had today alone?
A few pots and a pop.
So you make beer. Can you hear me quite clearly?
Yeah, but I don't think I want to. You're telling me how you make beer?
Yeah. Oh, you make beer by the brewing and fermentation of starches from cereal grains. Most commonly, barley, wheat, maize, which is corn, rice, and oats. It made me think, can you make beer out of Cheerios? Because Cheerios are made up of all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the tritium phosphate, which is TSP, which is an inorganic compound, it's an additive in Cheerios that would kill the yeast.
Oh.
But you could make Cheerio-flavoured beer if you wanted to.
Cool. Like Cheerio gin. Bye, gin.
Who do you think are the biggest beer drinkers?
Well, you and me.
Well, naturally, Germans.
Well,
Czech.
Per capita, it's the Czech Republic.
Oh, is that why you wanted to get that checkbook?
Mics are working.
Check one.
So if we're talking about per capita, the Czech Republic drinks more beer than any other country in the world. If we're talking about most overall consumption, China has the most beers drunk.
Brilliant.
What next? Back in the Middle Ages, beer was considered a normal part of the human diet.
But yeah, it's because beer was cleaner than water.
Well, that's it. Well, you chaplain, listen to me. People drank it daily because they thought it was necessary for their health. In the Middle Ages, people drank beer for breakfast.
Whoa.
But it was only about 2-3% beer. Historians actually argue whether they drank so much because water wasn't treated, making it bad for you. Which is what you just said.
Dan's looking at me like a startled owl.
No, I remember when I was in year four, trying to sound really cool to the supply teacher. We were learning about ancient Egypt and how they drank beer.
Oh, did you say that your dad gives you beer?
No, I said, God, I wish I lived in ancient Egypt, got to have beer every day.
What did she say?
She just looked at me and went, yeah.
What, how old are you?
Year four, that would have been nine.
9-year-old Dan trying to pull a worldie. He's like, well, I tell you what, I'd love to live in ancient Egypt because they give you a beer every day.
I bloody love beer.
I bloody love beer.
Look at me. I've got my pubes. I'm right growing up. But water was both free and readily accessible because towns and villages were built around water sources.
What?
So water was fine to drink. Therefore, water was drunk by most people. But sometimes water was mixed with wine or honey to improve the flavour. The reason why beer became so popular was mainly because it was full of calories. Back in these times, most people had jobs which involved manual labour, whether that was farming or if you had a physical job like a blacksmith or a stonemason.
Oh, the stonemasons.
Freemasons.
Secret society.
Freemasons, the secret society.
Stonemasons.
Please get a trade as a stonemason and walk into when you're there make carving stones and you're just there showing your ankles going, hello, boys. These jobs would have required a lot of energy.
the stonemason job.
Freemason, stonemason.
Freemason, stonemason.
I'm a free stonemason.
I'm a stone freemason.
I
don't move at all. I'm a statue. I'm a statue outside of the headquarters.
I'm a mason, stonemason, throw me. I'm Matt.
And I'm Dan. And welcome to Tell Me More with Matt and Dan.
In today's podcast, Dan's going to tell us a fact.
I'm still telling the fact. This is the longest introduction we've ever done. So the beer was packed with calories, giving people energy, which they didn't get from drinking regular water. But back then it was small beer, which was...
What about big beer?
Big beer in the big beer house.
It was big beer in the big brewery.
Small beer has been described as being unfiltered and even as having the same consistency as porridge.
Sounds like me. Unfiltered.
And have the same consistency as porridge.
Yeah.
But what do? We go, cheers!
Prost!
Do you know why we say cheers?
No.
It's because of beer. Well, one suggestion is that in ancient times, clinking arose to protect people's lives. In the Middle Ages, you used to have the tankards and you used to slam them together to say cheers so that your contents went into the other person's cup. So if they were trying to poison you...
They'd get poisoned as well.
Poison went in their cup as well. It was a way of ensuring that your drinking companions weren't harbouring evil intentions and trying to kill you off.
Do you remember in Pirate Tap?
I wasn't alive then.
Do you remember when we were pirates? Oh, those were the days. I'm the captain now, hon. I ran up to Tom Hanks. I was like, oi, you, stop it. Do you remember in Pirate Times when you go into a tavern or a pub? I've got hiccups again. Do you remember in Pirate Times when...
I still don't remember Pirate Times.
You'd go into a tavern and... I don't know why I'm saying it like this.
We didn't live in Pirate Times.
People would go into the tavern and then they'd find like a black spot on them. So they'd have like... maybe in the bottom of a cup or on a piece of paper. And that black spot indicated that you've actually got to join. You've got to join...
The pirates.
The Navy.
The Navy or the pirates?
I'll let you decide.
In the pirates,
you can pillage and steal. In the pirates,
you can swashbuckle and hate.
In the pirates, in the pirates. Do you remember that? I'm the captain now. All right,
that's ready for the window with the rule book.
Oh, it's gone. Are you ready? So, spooky wine facts.
Spooky, wokey.
Spooky. Spooky wine facts. All right.
What are we drinking first?
It's some like piss rosé.
I know. Rosé is my least favourite type of wine.
Oh, no. I love rosé, but this... how much was it? $4?
Yeah, it was a $4 rosé.
Oh, it's quite... it's rosé.
It's rosé.
Rosé. These facts are so bad. Honestly, it's just... So I'm reading these facts directly from a website because I forgot that we've got to do this. And so it was this morning, Dan was like, right, I'm heading over. I was like, oh, fuck. So I Googled it and I was just like, I'll just read them off. And so this website, Latar Creek, which is a winery, and this is the intro. Wine, with its centuries-old history and mysterious allure, holds more secrets than you might imagine. I've got the hiccups! As we approach Halloween, it's the perfect time to delve into the world of wine and uncover some spine-tingling and spooky facts that will both...
Halloween on the 6th of May.
From haunted vineyards to ghostly wine cellars, the wine world is full of surprises. So grab a glass of your favourite vino and prepare to be spooked by these 20 eerie and fascinating wine facts.
Dan, have we just drunk 3/4 of that bottle?
Not yet.
Ready for the first vague fact. The Phantom Vineyard in California's Napa Valley. There's a legendary vineyard called Tulacan. Some say it's haunted by the ghost of its founder, H.W. Crabbe, who mysteriously disappeared in 1889. That's the first fact. Wine cellar whispers.
Ooh.
Wine cellars can be eerie places.
Generally.
Especially when corks inexplicably pop or bottles move on their own. Many winemakers have spine-chilling tales of cellar encounters. And that's fact two.
Fucking hell.
Here's another.
Oh.
Ghostly wine labels. Some wineries believe that certain labels are cursed, bringing bad luck or misfortune. These labels are often discontinued to avoid any negative associations.
Invoid.
The Wandering Barrels.
In fuck's sake, I hate this.
In the Chateau... In the cellars of Chateau Margaux in Bordeaux, barrels have been known to mysteriously move on their own. Winemakers have no explanation for this peculiar phenomenon.
Because, famously, wine barrels are oblongs and they can't roll.
But what if they're stood up? Oh, I got you there, didn't I?
No, because they never stood up. Because the sediment will go to the bottom.
Wine and witchcraft. Just so you know, each one of these is two sentences.
Yeah, I can tell.
Wine has been associated with witchcraft throughout history. The ancient Greeks believed that pouring wine on the ground could appease wandering spirits. Vampire-proof wine. In Eastern European folklore, it is believed that sprinkling wine on a vampire's grave could prevent them from rising again. Wine was considered a protective potion.
That's the funny thing, because you get whiskey dick.
What's that got to do with getting yourself protected from a vampire?
Because most drinking habits will not get you to rise again. Can I have a wee?
Yeah, of course you can, mate. One second, just going to start.
We're back from a wee break.
We're back from
a wee break.
A wee break.
A wee break.
Yeah, your mother bomb. There you go. All right. What was I saying? Wine and the zodiac. Some astrologers believe that certain wines are better suited to different zodiac signs. For example, bold Cabernet Sauvignon might be perfect for fiery Leos. That's so stupid.
Can I just say, even though we're not doing rules, wine wasn't the one, mate.
No. What is in the facts?
Yeah, you were reading off of a winery's website the spookiest facts about wine for Halloween.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't have the patience for this right now.
You're the one. It's your round. Well, shall we get on to tequila?
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah, all right, whatever.
Right, wine, quit your whining, because we're on to the party drink of the century.
Tequila!
Tequila!
There we go.
I hardly know her.
it's a distilled beverage.
Shut up, you didn't read my notes.
His notes are huge.
Because I read him from a distance. I always have to.
How far away?
Right here.
Oh, okay.
Shall we try our drinks?
Oh, God, okay.
So, because... Matt refused shots because, in all fairness, that's quite a wise move because I think both of us would be a bit sick at this point.
It would be horrendous.
And now we've got some tequila soda because I couldn't find margarita mix cheap enough. Oh, that's proper right, nice.
So he's bought some Patron.
into some Mel Franklin lime soda.
Oh my God.
Nah, it works with you after a while.
How long?
Tequila. Da, 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 da,
da, da.
Tequila. So as Matt said at the very start, it's a distilled beverage from the blue agave plant.
Agave.
Tequila is like champagne, cognac, and fine wine.
To who?
To me.
To wit, to woo.
To wit, to woo. No, so it can only be produced in five regions in Mexico: Guanajuato, Michigan, Nayarit, and Tamaulipas.
That's four.
And Jalisco. They're all pronounced incorrectly.
Okay, perfect.
Let me try again.
No, no, just move on.
No, can you help me?
Yeah.
Guanajuato.
Guanajuato.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Naira.
Naira.
Tamaulipas.
Tamaulipas.
And Jalisco.
Jalisco. In Mexico.
But the biggest producer is Jalisco. Yeah.
Jalisco.
So you can only drink tequila if it's from those regions. It's only tequila if it's from there.
It's not tequila if it's not from there.
During the 1980s Spanish flu epidemic. Acapulco.
Is at the Pampa.
Copacabana.
Spanish flu epidemic. I thought you said pajama. Spanish flu and pajama. Where does the word pajama come from?
I think it comes from...
My bedroom in my closet.
During the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it well.
Patients were instructed to drink tequila with lime and salt to ease their symptoms. Today, tequila isn't considered a cure, but it still might help soothe sore throats, ease with congestion, and aid sleep. Did you know?
No.
Tequila's healthy.
For what?
Tequila is made up of agavins, an indigestible sugar that moves through the body without being used for energy.
Well, an indigestible... So you cannot digest it?
No.
Oh.
The more complex molecular structure of agavins prevents you from spiking your blood sugar in response. These molecules have also been found to stimulate your metabolism. Unlike most alcohol, which slows it way down.
Wait, so if we want to lose weight, we should drink tequila?
Yep.
You've heard it here first, folks. Dan says...
Lose weight.
Tequila. Oh, people are going to be so disappointed in us.
Hey, I don't know what we're talking about. We've already told them tequila makes them lose weight.
Yeah, and I've already told them stupid facts.
Wine is scary.
Wine's really scary. But also, it keeps the doctor away if you smash him over the head.
Did you know tequila lowers cholesterol as well?
Why are we going so close to the microphone?
Tequila lowers cholesterol. Tequila lowers cholesterol. The buffet is now open. The buffet is now open.
Tequila lowers cholesterol.
How? I don't know.
Mate, you do not get to gas me. How, when your facts were there's a spooky cellar in California?
Dan, we're on different brands.
Who are you sponsored by?
Nike. Just do it. I'm also sponsored by Puma.
Puma pants.
Puma pants.
It may help with digestion in addition to adding probiotics. A post-meal shot of tequila may help stimulate digestion. So if you have a meal, have a shot of tequila and it'll help with it. It's an aperitif.
It's not limoncello, though, is it?
Also, it's gluten-free. So, tequila is mezcal, but mezcal isn't tequila.
Oh, I almost vomited.
Mezcal is any drink from an agave plant.
Ooh.
I'm going to talk about margaritas now. No one really knows who invented the margarita.
Me.
There are a lot of theories. The most widely spread rumor is that an American socialite named Margarita Sames created the drink for her friends in 1948. Guess who one of the party guests was, Matt?
Me, Hedy Lamarr.
Tommy Hilton.
Who's that?
Hilton Hotels Boy.
Whoa.
Who added the drink to the bar menu at his hotels.
Tommy Margarita.
But Margarita, this is what I fucking love. This is my favorite fact of the day. Margarita is Spanish for daisy.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Margarita is Spanish for daisy, and daisy is the code word and the nickname for the prohibition drink that is any base spirit, sugar, and sour. So back in the day, so a whiskey sour,
yeah,
a sidecar, a margarita. A margarita, originally, a daisy with tequila.
Wow.
So if you wanted, back in the Prohibition days, a cocktail, you'd say a daisy, because that's what all base cocktails originally are made for back in the 20s.
Yeah.
Was a spirit, a sour, a sweet. Mix them together, you got yourself a cocktail. Mix any of them together, you got a cocktail.
So they asked for a what?
Margarita.
Give me your answer to.
This is so tasty. Do you like it?
Describe what it tastes like.
I taste floral. I taste a bit of lime. And it tastes refreshing.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Do ours taste different? Do you want to try a bit of mine to see if I'm tasting the same thing?
I'm feeling sort of like aniseed.
Yeah.
Like a very aniseedy. I feel like I'm licking tarmac. And so it's just very strange. Do you remember that?
Matthew, what kind of tarmac are you licking if you lick aniseed?
Have you got a Jaeger Bomb Road? I'm going to quickly get through the rest of this because I really need a wee.
Okay. Oh, then we're going on to gin, are we?
Yep. So many variations of margaritas include classical, mezcal, fruity, herbal, floral, spicy, and frozen.
Gorgeous.
All following that typical daisy concept.
Oh!
In the Texas State Fair, you can also get a deep-fried margarita, which is a funnel cake batter made with a margarita mixer, fried and soaked in more margarita, served in a salt rim glass. It looks absolutely foul.
Yeah. It sounds foul as well. Okay, folks, now we're going to take a break until we...
I've not finished the margaritas, but I actually do really need a wee.
No, we're finishing margaritas now.
No, I've got a few more facts.
Well, say funny fact. That is a good fact. No, say good fact, then wee.
Well, I was wondering what came first, pizza or cocktail, margarita.
What?
It's a bit faded because the origins of both nobody is completely sure about, but pizza seemed to came first because they're both named after someone called Margaret.
Thatcher.
Margarita pizza is named after someone called Margaret. Only kidding. It's a queen in Italy. I really need a wee, though. So let's end this round.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you in a moment. Right, we finished up with tequila. We finished up with tequila, and now we're on to the drink of kings, that is a gin.
Gin of drinks.
We do have a special guest. We've got Linda Roberts. So Dan might run some conversation with Linda and ask her favourite things about it. But yeah, here we go. Linda Roberts, my grandmother.
Hello, folks. I am the Linda Roberts. I'm pleased to meet you.
You and Matt have known each other for a while, I feel.
Yeah, I've known Linda my whole life.
25 years.
It's crazy, that, isn't it?
I know, and I'm still surviving. It's amazing.
How's it been for you to know Matt that long?
Amazing. Terrorising at times. Never a dull moment.
Now, one thing you've known longer than Matt is gin.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure.
Oh, yes. This is very true. And to be honest, when I first tried gin, I thought, what is this? What is this? What's wrong with my baby shams?
So when was the first time you tried gin?
Probably late teens, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a couple of years ago.
And yes. A doddle of years ago, yeah.
Yes, I would say probably I tried it when I was about 17.
So only that's 20 years ago.
Yeah. 15.
Yeah, but now, I did wonder why I tried it. But now I know why I tried it. I'm trying this one now. It's made delicious.
It's made you the woman you are today.
Oh, absolutely.
So the gin we're trying right now is a blood orange and yuzu gin.
Yes. It's delightful.
They keep adding flavours to it, don't they?
And to be honest, they can't be wrong.
No.
No, you can't go wrong. You know, they keep bringing them out and they're just delicious.
Yes.
Do you know why Fever Tree is called Fever Tree?
No.
Why?
The Fever Tree in India is what... Oh, it's going to annoy me. Yeah.
When the soldiers were in India, they would drink tonic. Like
because it's got...
Is it a root of a plant?
A root of a
tree
plant.
Is a little plant with a little white flower on it.
And that's what makes tonic water. So that's why fever tree is called fever tree, because the plant of the fever tree is what makes tonic water.
Yeah. It was used as a herbal thing to bring people's fever down. I think it now raises them up.
Now, Linda, what would you say is your favourite gin plus tonic plus garnish accoutrement?
That's a big ask, isn't it? Hey, that is a big ask. I quite do like the blood orange. I do like that with the orange slice, the dried orange slice.
Oh, the dried
slice.
Orange slices, yes. Yeah, very nice.
This is the first time I've tried it with this gin. This a tonic?
Oh, this tonic. What's the tonic that we use?
We'll find out what it is at some point. Yeah, it's this. We'll swoop past it.
All right.
I'll be honest. My favourite gin and tonic and accoutrement with garnish is probably a Hendrix, some sort of form of either Mediterranean or Indian tonic, and then just some cucumber. My grandma and I, we went to the pub outside of Attingham Park. What was it? The Mitten and Mermaid.
Yes.
And we had two drinks. I think mine was a sparkling drink and then yours was a gin. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a globe glass for gin, which is exactly what Linda has right here. It's
really
huge, absolutely massive glass, and it's perfect for the flavours and scents of a gin and tonic. You know what I mean, Linda?
Especially on a cold winter's day in a nice warm English pub.
Oh, Dan, what's
there
your favourite?
Thank you.
What's your favourite gin and tonic?
Well, I'll actually make a controversial point and say,
here we go,
I like a gin martini over a gin and tonic.
Mm-hmm.
With a bit of Four Pillars.
Yeah.
Olive leaf gin.
Nice.
In a dirty martini.
Ah.
I love a dirty martini.
Are you a martini lady, Linda?
No, I'm afraid I'm not.
No.
Gin and it was a very popular drink in the 60s, 70s. And in fact, I believe it was the Queen Mother's favourite.
Oh, classic Alky right there, wasn't she? my favourite martini is a Vespa martini.
Oh, I was telling everyone about a Vespa martini the other day.
It's so good. Linda.
What's that?
Well, you've seen me drink it. It's vodka, gin, a Lillet Blanc.
It's so a
white wine aperitif.
Yeah, so it's like limoncello, but with white wine.
It's not as nice as limoncello, but put all of them together, it gets you absolutely rat out.
Oh, well, I've never been that.
Oh, okay. All right, sure. My grandmother, don't think so.
Close, but...
mouse-arsed, maybe.
Not rat-arsed, mouse-arsed. All right, got it. Thank you very much for the Q&A, Linda. All right, everyone say thank you, Linda.
There we go.
A round of applause.
There's a round of applause.
Going through our headphones right now.
Here we go, some facts about gin.
Do you have some favourites in there that you want to scroll through and read?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gin
good.
Is English, not Dutch. Geneva, a malted spirit that is essentially a light whiskey with juniper, is the juniper distillate of the Netherlands. Gin was developed in London as a unique and much purer spirit. In Holland, Geneva was sold in pharmacies in the late 1600s. If you went to a drinking establishment, one of the top-selling beverages was wormwood wine, now known as vermouth. The earliest known food pairing occurred in 1731, which was gingerbread.
Gin and gingerbread?
Yeah! The martini glass only got its name in the 1990s, when martini-style cocktails became all the rage. Prior to that, it was called a cocktail glass, just as long as no one calls it an appletini glass.
That's fascinating, because I was about to say, appletini probably became popular in the 90s as well.
Yes! The earliest mention of the word cocktail in reference to a drink was on the 20th of March, 1798. In the London Morning Post and Gazetteer, in parentheses, it says, how's that for historical? In the newspaper.
Can I just say that's going to be clipped as the best quote from Tell Me More?
How's that for historical? In the newspaper's satirical account, it was consumed by Pitt the Younger, which was one of the members one of the members of parliament who was also the prime minister.
Sure.
At the Axe and Gate Tavern at the corner of Downing and Whitehall, which was later torn down to expand the prime minister's residence. Number 10. London's most popular drink in the winter of 1823 was the hot gin twist. Dan, tell me what you think a hot gin twist is.
It is gin, lemon. I want to say either cider or something else mulled, red wine or cider, with spices heated up.
Okay. In fact, one man wrote a 149-line poem for the newspapers.
So you're not going to tell me what a hot gin twist is?
We'll find out.
Are you Googling?
Shh.
Okay.
So you fill a glass with boiling water and let it sit for 30 seconds to warm the glass, and then you discard the water. You add gin, lemon juice, and simple syrup to the pre-warmed glass. You top up with boiling water, add a dash of cold if required to ensure it's drinkable, and then you stir. So it's basically a gin twist. So like with but then it's just warm, which is very interesting. I might try that this winter. The first cocktail listed in the first British cocktail book was a gin cocktail with ginger syrup, orange and bitters. It features in William Terrington's Cooling Cups and...
You said William Tell.
William Terrington's. By 1726, London had 1,500 working stills.
Fires!
And then 6,200.
Fires!
And 87 places where you could buy gin. Centuries before the birth of gin, juniper was already imported to Britain from the Mediterranean. It is considered the best in the world.
The best in the world! Did you read a fact at all about...
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this one. And we are going to listen to some vodka.
Right, we need some songs about vodka.
Songs about vodka. Here we go.
Is my microphone even turned on? Yeah, it is. My earphone wasn't in.
It's all right, vodka. Here it comes. What have we got right now?
We've got vodka.
Vodka and...
soda. Oh, yeah, vodka, lime, soda. That's our last fact as well.
How fun.
We're ending on vodka.
All right, throw them at me, Dom.
Just a quick reminder, you can keep telling your facts at a pub with everyone. Can we just say, how long is this raw recording?
The raw recording of this is 2 hours long.
But we started probably about 3 hours ago.
We've braked, we've jumped, we've gone around.
We played a bit of hopscotch.
And to be honest, I feel like our podcast is primarily, it's a great deal of fun. There's some things that go out. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's good quality stuff. There's some good quality facts that go out there. And then also, I feel like people will listen to us just to hear people have a good time. Do you know what I mean? So Dan's going to talk about some
vodka.
Cheeky voddies right now.
So vodka is a clear, distilled, alcoholic beverage.
Made out of?
It's composed mainly of water and ethanol, but sometimes with traces of impurities and flavouring.
From potatoes.
Actually, traditionally, it's made by distilling liquid from fermented cereal grain and potatoes since the latter was introduced in Europe in the 1700s.
How lovely.
Some modern brands use corn, sugarcane, fruits, honey, and maple sap as the base. Since the 1890s, standard vodkas have been 40% alcohol by volume.
Oh, wow.
The European Union has established a minimum alcohol content of 37.5% for vodka. Vodka in the United States must have a minimum alcohol content of 40%. So if you're in the United States of America...
it has to be 40%.
It's a bit stronger than the European Union.
Wow. What about Australia? Do you know?
Nope. What's this one?
40%. Whee! Same with Australia, 40%. Mate. 40%.
The name vodka comes from the Russian word voda, meaning water.
Mm.
And vodka is a stress reliever.
For who?
You and me.
Vodka can help release stress. When you drink vodka, it causes the brain to release endorphins, which are hormones that naturally relieve stress. It's also good for the heart. Vodka can help increase blood flow by dilating blood vessels and improve circulation. Additionally, vodka can help prevent blood clots from forming and can prevent strokes.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been drinking for 6 hours.
Vodka can also...
I love you. I love you too. This is an insight to Dan and Matt's relationship. We love each other.
We do, really.
Cheers, cheers.
Oh, cheers. 3 years of podcasting we've done.
And also, when do we become best friends? Start this year? Start this year 12 years ago.
12 years ago today.
There we go. Chin chin.
I love you.
Love you too. This is very strong.
You made it.
You made it. Vodka can also be used in cooking. And various recipes are improved by the addition of vodka, or rely on it as a key ingredient.
Penny a la vodka.
Penny a la vodka. I love it. It's my favourite.
It's really good.
Vodka sauce is a pasta sauce made from tomato sauce, cream, and vodka that gained popularity in the 70s. I love penny a la vodka.
It's really nice.
What about a chicken? Chicken, vodka, and tomatoes on me tagliatelle. Love it. Vodka can be used in baking as a substitute for water. So if you put vodka in a recipe instead of water for a pie crust,
yeah,
it ends up being crustier.
Really?
Yeah. It may be used in seafood dishes, cheesecake, or bitters. Hey, Matt, are you listening?
Yep.
Did you know vodka was once used as a currency?
Oh, in Soviet Russia.
Aye, because it was one of the one things that weren't affected by inflation.
I'm not a fan of Russia, personally. I love socialism, I love communism, that aspect of it all. But it can so be easily changed to something that does not benefit the majority. Do you know what I mean?
Karl Marx right here on tellmemore.pod.au.
If there's anything that I can tell you to read, it is the Socialist Manifesto that Karl Marx had written.
Have you read it?
Yes.
When?
Oh, this year.
Do you have a copy?
No. It's an electronic copy that I purchased.
Can you send it me?
You've got to purchase it yourself.
Can you not send it me?
Sorry, it's a subscription service that I'm a part of.
Why? Wait a second. So you're reading the Communist Manifesto on a subscription service. Why are you not getting a copy shared from someone else?
Sorry, but that is my favourite sentence I've ever heard. It's quite ironic.
I'm reading the Communist Manifesto on a subscription service.
I'm going to buy the books. I'm going to buy the books later in life. Dan, we as the youth are not making enough money.
What was I saying before? Vodka was also used to buy goods and services. It was even used to pay taxes. When I went to Morocco, I was told to bring vodka with me.
Yeah.
Because that would be good in trading. The Russian government, maybe, even created a special vodka tax to help pay for the war effort. I think it was Russia, but not the war that's going on right now, the war before.
Yeah.
Today, vodka is still used as currency in some parts of the world and is also used to buy goods and services in Russia. Did you know vodka is a key ingredient to make homemade aftershave? It can help smooth razor burns and prevent ingrowing hairs. To make your own aftershave, you need to mix 1 cup of vodka with 2 tablespoons of witch hazel and 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar.
Who here has witch hazel?
And then you shake well and apply to your skin. So, I created a Tell Me More cocktail, essentially. It's very easy to follow.
Witch hazel?
No, you don't need witch hazel. I just thought if you put... Right, so at home, we don't have the accoutrement to do because I thought I was going to bring more cups with me. I thought, you know how a Jaeger bomb is a drop of Jaeger and Red Bull?
Yeah.
A drop of vodka and apple cider would make the Tell Me More aftershave cocktail.
I don't like the sound of that.
Don't worry, we're not doing that today because we've been drinking for 6 hours. But
no, but it's not even 6 hours worth of drinking. It's numerous drinks across 6 hours. It's an uncouth.
Okay, Matt. Okay, we're gonna do. We're gonna do the pathetic man's version.
What's that?
A slight drop of vodka.
Yeah.
In a splash of apple cider.
Okay.
And I think that'd be a really nice cocktail.
That's
so
what you wanted.
If you do a Jaeger bomb, but instead of a Jaeger bomb, you put a shot of vodka in a glass of apple cider. Shall we do it?
Absolutely. Oh, here we go. Are you ready? Okay, good. Yeah, good. Thank you very much. No, I'm not down in it.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I am. Do you want to put this on the Instagram?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we are on Instagram at the moment.
It's a journey.
This is the official Tell Me More cocktail, which is, Matt, do you want to remind them?
It's vodka.
A shot of vodka in a glass of apple cider.
You ready?
Chin chin. Down in one.
No. No. Not for Matthew Jones.
Oh.
How was it for Dan Ridley? Was it all right?
You know what? It was okay. But there we are. So if you want to tell people, if someone goes to you, what's a new cocktail that you've heard of? There's one.
You've
a
heard
shot of vodka in a glass the of cider. And it's the Tell Me More aftershave. So it's called the aftershave.
Yeah, and it feels like it. I'm burning. I'm burning right now. Oh, God. So, folks, that is... Dad just finished it off. That is actually
the series finale of Tell Me More series 2.
What we're going to do, we're going to do this. Oh, fucking hell.
Do we have time for a waz? Oh, no, we don't.
We're going to finish it now for you.
Series 2 of Tell Me More is finished right now. Thank you so much for listening to all of Series 2 and Series 1. We're celebrating the full year round. And Matt's still hiccuping.
It's really nice that you've listened to us. But we're also going to come to you next week with some best bits.
Oh, yeah, of course we are. So next two episodes are going to be best bits of Tell Me More. And unheard bits.
Unheard bits. It might be a bit risky, but I think you'll love it. Okay, I love you all.
Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Tell Me More with Matt and Dan.